us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand, the majesty on high. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank You this morning, Lord, for the privilege to be here. God, I pray You touch Your people, touch these young folks especially. Lord, help mamas and daddies, Lord, just to keep these places going so that our young folks can continue to hear and see the things. Lord, I want to thank You that I've been able to meet men like Brother Ed Ballew, Brother Milford Biddle, Brother Sammy Allen and Milton Taylor, Stinnett Ballew, and God, other men of God, Lord. I want to thank You so much for bringing our paths, Lord, to where we could just hear these great men of God. I thank You for Brother Morgan and the burden of the church here, Lord, to have this meeting. God, what a great time of refreshing it has been. I bless Your name for it. And I pray You'd help us this morning for a few minutes as we try to help Your people. And help us, Lord God, to lift up Christ. Lord, we're not here to perform. I'm not asking to help me perform, Lord. I'm here just to help lift up Christ. So please help me today, Father. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Back in the year 1535, there was a man by the name of Henry Phillips who was dispatched from England by the highest religious authorities in England to capture the most wanted man in all of Europe. So he went under the authority of the king, under the authority of this religious group, to catch this horrible criminal. The really, really, in their mind, a really wicked man. And so Phillips weaseled his way into this man's his life and became a friend to him. He would question him about the work that he was doing. He would question him about the task that he was completing there as he was in Belgium. And one night after they had eaten supper, he was walking through a dark alley, and this man was behind him. He had a prearranged signal that guards would take this man, apprehend him, and take him to the authorities. And so as they passed through, Phillips went on, two soldiers came out and grabbed this man, hauled him before the courts, and they placed him into jail. And some of you probably already know that this man who was placed in a cold, dark, damp prison cell there in Antwerp, Belgium, was a man by the name of William Tyndale. Many folks don't really know who he was, but may I say to you that 90% of the New Testament that we have in our King James Bible came from the work of William Tyndale, who was the first one to come out of Rome, take the original, what we call the original languages, Greek and Hebrew, and try to put that into the languages of the people. I love William Tyndale because, being a former Catholic, he sat in the home of Sir John Walsh and was talking to the Roman Catholic authorities, and they would debate back and forth over this, what they call the new evangelical doctrine. We just call it salvation by grace. And he began to debate with them, and one of those men stood up and said, it would be better to be without God's laws than to be without the Pope's laws. That just aroused the anger of Tyndale, and he said this: if God spare my life ere long, I'll make the boy that driveth behind the plow to know more of the Scriptures than thou dost. Now I'm going to tell you, I sure am glad that William Tyndale had the plowboy in mind. Glad he tried to translate the Bible, not into big flowery words, but to where men and women, boys and girls who had jobs, what we would call the blue-collar folks, could get a hold of the Word of God, get a hold of that, and know what it was to know the God of heaven. And I bless His name for that this morning. Well, William Tyndale wrote a very sad letter from prison. He talks about how cold it was, how damp it was, how he just simply wanted a cap, a woolen cap to keep warm. He wanted warmer stockings because it was so cold and damp. But the last thing he asked for was his Hebrew Bible, Hebrew grammar, and Hebrew lexicon so he could continue his work of translating the Word of God into the language of his people. As far as we know, that particular request was never granted. And in October 1536, they marched Tyndale out to the stake. Being a scholar, raised in the church, as they called it, he was strangled before they set the wood on fire that was placed around him. And he prayed one last prayer before he died. He said this: Lord, open the King of England's eyes. They pulled the noose. They set the wood on fire, and Tyndale went up in smoke. And before his body was turned to ash, he was in the presence of Almighty God, singing around the throne. Hallelujah, bless His name. Amen. 75 years later, year 1611, there's a Bible that you hold in your lap, rolled off the presses, friend. That Bible has saved millions and millions and millions of souls from eternal damnation. Now I want to ask you this question. Why in the world would William Tyndale, smart man, scholar man, educated man, why would he be willing to lay aside a nice, easy living in a church? Why would he be willing to lay aside his life, his health, his comfort, and be willing to go all the way to a cold, damp prison and suffer the death that he did? Why would he be willing to do that? I want to tell you the answer is found in our text this morning. The Bible says that God, in verse number 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Friend, I want to tell you, the God we serve is not a silent God. He is a speaking God. God we have, the one with whom we have to do, is a God who has spoken. Thank God God's not silent. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Friend, then that's just simply what we call general revelation. But hallelujah, thank God, in these last days, God has given us special revelation in the person of his Son. And if you want to know who God is, you want to go to heaven, you've got to go the way that God said to go. And the only way you can go is by his Son. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to talk, what has God said about his Son? What's God said? I mean, if God's spoken by his Son, would it not behoove us to hear what God said about his Son? Listen, friend, I'm not talking about bound before the Virgin Mary. I'm not talking about Hail Mary full of grace. I'm not talking about that. I remember we would pray the rosary. The last prayer that I was to pray was sweet Holy Mary, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. To thee do we send up our sighs, mourning and weeping in this valley of tears. Turn then, most gracious advocate, thine eyes of mercy toward us. Can I tell you, that's blasphemous language. She has no advocacy before the Father. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Brother, I'm not trusting Rome. I'm trusting what happened on the back of Rocky Branch Missionary Baptist Church when I bowed my head, called on God, asked God to save me. Friend, 10 million times 10 million years from now, I'll be singing in the presence of God because on that Sunday morning, somebody preaching in the church, in the church, in the church is where I met him. Hallelujah. Amen. What has God said about his Son? Verse number 2 says this, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. The Bible says, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Middle of verse 3 says, and upholding all things by the word of his power. The very first thing that we see God speaks about his Son is he speaks of his sovereignty. Our God is a sovereign God. Now don't let that scare you. I know the King James translators didn't use the word sovereign. But they didn't use the word Trinity. They didn't use the word rapture. They didn't use the word millennium. And those are all Bible doctrines. All sovereign means is God's the boss. He's not up in heaven taking votes on what he needs to do next. He's not asking little folks here, how should I do this? How should I do that? No, say, preacher, what do you think about the sovereignty of God? God sovereignly decreed, whosoever will, let him come take the water of life freely. There's not a sinner's face I can't look at and say, God wants you to be saved if you'll just simply come to him. It's up to you to come to him. Amen. Can I tell you that God spoke of his sovereignty? John chapter 1, verse number 1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14 says, unto the angel of the church Laodiceans write, listen to this, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Now, I want to tell you, your not so friendly neighborhood Russellite Jehovah's Witness will come knock on your door and tell you that Jesus Christ was the very first thing that God created. My friend, Jesus Christ was never created. He's in the eternal Trinity of the Godhead, of the Holy Godhead. He is the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. He is Jehovah God manifest in a body of human flesh. Hallelujah, I'll tell you, he's the beginning of the creation of God, the same way that Henry Ford is the creation of the automobile. He thought it up, he put it together, he put it in motion. And friend, the Almighty God that we serve is the God of glory, who is sovereign in all that he does. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things. By him all things consist. Our God's a sovereign God. Everything in this universe is upheld by his power. Now, he can speak of his sovereignty because God also has spoken of his splendor. Verse number 3 says this, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. How you like that? How you like that? I like that glory. I'm liking that glory. They say, what's the matter? What is that, preacher? John 1:18 says this, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. That's the same word that we use for what we call exegesis. We study and then we expose what it is that we've seen. We put it out there. That's the exact same Greek word for that. You want to see God, you've got to come to the Lord Jesus. You want to see him? You want to see the Father? Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's what he said. Amen. Philip, he said, and Philip said, Jesus said, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip said, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. Jesus said this, have I been so long time with you, Philip, that thou hast not known me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. I want to tell you, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 42 and verse number 2, I am the Lord. That's Jehovah God. That is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. Can I tell you, friend, that Jesus Christ is God Almighty, wrapped in a body of human flesh, came to this earth, was perfect, led a perfect life, and he bled and hung and died on that cross. God can't die. How can God die, preacher? When God put himself into a human body and let them kill that body, that's how God died. Amen. God speaks of his sovereignty. God speaks of his splendor. I serve a wonderful Lord this morning. Amen. And I did say Lord, and I got amens. I appreciate that. Amen. Who was the preacher who said, I don't hardly see how anybody could receive Jesus as Savior, not receive him as Lord. Jesus didn't cut in half. He's not one side of a coin. You get him all. You get every bit of him, friend. You get him all. Say, preacher, I want a ticket out of hell, but I'm not interested in surrendering my life. I want to rebel, but I want to get out of going to hell. You can't get out of going to hell with that attitude, friend. The only way you can come to Christ is to bow yourself under the authority of a holy God, calling you to repentance and forgiving your sin, getting out of the way, and nailing. God help me, I'm getting so tongue-tied, this one, help me. Help me, Lord. Can I tell you the only way you can get to heaven is by repenting of your sin, placing your faith and trust in the finished work of the Son of God, and turning from that, friend. Turn from it. Turn it from. Lord, help me not to get tongue-tied. Help me. God not only spoke of his sovereignty and his splendor, but look in verse number 3. It says, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. God speaks of his sacrifice. God speaks of his sacrifice. The only way for man to be saved is through Christ. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, Hebrews 9 tells us, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, listen to this, friend, look at me now, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? He speaks of his sacrifice. That brings joy to my heart. I'll tell you why that brings joy to my heart. Because I remember looking through the back of that church building through the glass doors, watching the priest go through the ritual of the Mass. And I remember looking, seeing him in his green vestments and saying this, is it enough? Is it enough? Is it enough? Is it enough? We got to keep coming back. We got to keep coming back. We've got to keep coming back. Friend, I want to tell you that was one of those things that I was concerned about. I didn't want to go to hell. I wanted to go to heaven when I died. I wasn't interested in splitting hell wide open. And the whole thought of purgatory wasn't too good to me either. Well, there's not one. So don't even worry about the whole purgatory issue. Amen. But I read this in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, when he had made one sacrifice for sins forever, what did he do? He come over here and he sat down.
Right.
On the right hand of God. He sat down. Next time he gets back up, brother, we're going up. Hallelujah. Hey, man. Brother, that excites me. That excites me. I was lost in religion. It didn't take a whole lot for me to get saved. All I knew was that the folks in that church were preaching what I had never heard before. I knew there was somebody on the inside, Brother Morgan, telling me that what they were preaching was right. There was somebody on the inside telling me they're talking about Jesus. They're talking about his sacrifice. They're talking about him being the only way to heaven. There was somebody on the inside telling me that that was right and that I needed to come to him. I didn't know that that was Holy Ghost conviction. I didn't know what that was. All I knew was there was a drawing forth to come to Jesus and place my all upon him. And I did come to him, and I bless his name. That 10 million times 10 million years from now, I'll be in heaven with him. Amen. Amen. God speaks of his sacrifice. And Jesus did it all by himself. He don't need your help. He don't need my help. It's all, the work has been taken care of. All you got to do is believe. All you got to do is come, repent. That's all you got to do. Everybody still okay? Everybody still okay? Okay. I just thought, I'm almost finished. My time's almost up. Amen. My time's running. God speaks of his sacrifice. But here's the thing I want you to see here. When he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, the Son of God, God speaks of his satisfaction. God is satisfied with the death of his Son. Brother Brown was exhorting us last night, and I'm telling you, you young folks, that was a blessing to hear. There's some of you, you may look good on the outside. I can take you to a family right now. Lives over in Cock County in Tennessee. First time I met them, the girls had dresses down to the ankles. Their hair was down to the middle of their back. They played instruments, sang beautifully, beautiful voices. And as far as attractive, beautiful young ladies. But then they got that rebellious spirit. They got that rebellious spirit. One of them had a baby out of wedlock. The other one, you see her on Facebook and she's hanging all over a boyfriend. Mom and dad split up. They've gone two different directions. Just because it looks good on the outside doesn't mean it's right. Doesn't mean it's right. It doesn't mean your heart's right. That's why we pray. We push and pray and encourage people and tell them you need to examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. We're not here to make you doubt. I dealt with doubt for years. I dealt with doubt. Because I didn't come down to the front. I didn't come to the altar. I just got saved sitting back in the back. I didn't know you could do that. I didn't know that was part of what God would do. I didn't know God would meet you back in the back. I do now.
Oh yeah. That's
right. But I got it settled one night at my house in my living room. Audrey and Caleb had already gone off to bed. I turned around, got down next to my chair, and I placed my Bible down on that fire hearth. And I put my finger on John 6:37, and I said, God, your word says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I said, God, I'm coming to you, trusting you. I know I ask you to save me, but God, I'm making sure I'm saying, I'm going to tell you, friend, that has been over 20 years ago. And I'm going to tell you, God has been faithful. God has been good. God has been wonderful. You can be saved. You can know you're saved. You can be filled with the Spirit of God, and God can take your life and use you, but you've got to be willing to surrender your life to him. I want to ask you this one question. I'm going to finish up. Just as far as salvation goes, can you believe this? Can you believe that the death of Jesus Christ is sufficient to satisfy the wrath of God on your behalf? Can you believe that? Can you believe that? God poured every ounce of wrath for sin out upon the head of his Son. God made him sin for us. He became sin so that you and I could be made the righteousness of God in him. You trust him, friend. You can't go to hell. He'll give you a life worth living. He'll give you that abundant life that you've been joined for, looking for, asking for. He'll give you a life worth living. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've been married nearly 25 years. I've got 5 children. God's gotten us through some deep, dark valleys in our life. Can I tell you, he has been my friend. He has gone with us all the way. He promised he would go with me every single place. He's walked with me out to the caskets of loved ones and babies and all. He's done that. He has been the God who has been with me. Friend, that's living, having a friend who'll go with you all the way. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to say this to you. God, listen to me. Listen to me. God has spoken. God has spoken. God has spoken. You got a King James Bible? God has spoken. If God's spoken, you need to listen to Him. Amen. 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 Father, take the word this morning, I pray, and use it for your glory.